This is Selling the Truth, a podcast documentary brought to you by WF360 Productions. Let's start at the baseline of what is news. Bill Kovach and Tom Rosensteel wrote in the Elements of Journalism that news is communication that keeps us informed of the changing events, issues, and characters in the world outside. They go on to say, though it may be interesting or even entertaining, the foremost value of news is as a utility to empower the informed. Can we accept this, given what is happening in the business of news today? It's tough for news organizations to make money, and it's tough for the public to distinguish fact from fiction, propaganda from verified independent journalism. It seems this time impossible to know where so-called breaking news comes from, exactly who's reporting it, and what do they know, and how can they be held accountable for telling us the truth? We've heard from skeptics, lots of them journalists, saying the SEMP's days as a trusted news source are over. Here's one of them who asked not to be identified. We talked in 2018, and her comments echo what many others told me. I include them here to remind us of the level of negativity the SEMP has been up against. These people say that since Alibaba's purchase, the SEMP is a disappointment.
The style of journalism has gone from mediocre and limp to verging on puffery. When they talk about leading the conversation on China, do they really mean it? And what does it take to do that? Because it is very exciting. But if they are just going to take the default position of being a quasi-Chinese government newspaper with a little bit more independence, a little bit less bound, and certainly not censored, then it's sort of a failure of execution. It has to be done through quality. What they really have not done is to hire journalistic rock stars.
She's talking here about the editorial prowess of the SEMP. As to their efforts to improve their digital platform, there's a similar skepticism.
It's a bit of a joke because their digital platform is terrible. It's been improved incrementally over the past 2 years or so since Gary came in, but it's still pretty bad. It just does not work well. Archive functions are kind of terrible. And then the organization on the page is not breakthrough, and it's not nearly as good as the mainstream American and European media online.
Whoa. Were critics like her reading the same paper and clicking on the same online offerings that the SEMP was so excited about? Were they simply unaware of the changes happening at One Layton Road? That's the SEMP's headquarters then. Gary Liu did a lot of thinking, not only about the digital challenges of improving the way people discover and consume the news, but how to achieve editorial excellence as well, which he defined as the SEMP's ability to elevate thought. The SEMP website devotes significant space to its mission statement and its code of ethics, concluding, quote, accuracy is a top priority. And above all, the purpose of the code of conduct is to protect and foster a bond of trust between the SEMP print and online journalists and readers, and to protect the integrity of the publication. Here's Gary.
We are trying to hold ourselves accountable to providing the structure of news in a digital world where it is right now gone. So we have been thinking a lot here how to solve that problem, which is that on a 5-inch mobile screen, we have to be able to actually show you the facts, which is the front page news, plus differing opinions. And if we're able to give you that entire package, then our hope is that you'll read each of those pieces and then come to your own conclusion about what the truth is. That is what I mean by elevating thought.
Welcome to the Selling the Truth podcast series, Episode 4, Breaking News. In Episode 1, we identified the mountain of challenges Gary Liu and his team had to ascend to transform the SEMP into a global media company. In episode 2, we considered Gary's aptitude for leading this challenging effort and what was needed to achieve the company's agreed-upon vision to lead the conversation about China globally, starting with the United States. Gary cited a change in culture, transition of the newsroom to digital, and creation of products that would deliver the news globally. In episode 3, we met the remarkable techies who joined Gary's team at the beginning to unleash their know-how on the creation of new proprietary tech products. Their bet was that these products would be the kindling that would ignite a blaze of enthusiasm, starting with the United States, for the SEMP's explanation of that complex, formidable, endlessly intriguing, and crucially important, especially right now, world power, China. Now, let's look at the SEMP's newsroom. To even begin to return to profitability, it first had to fully transition to digital format. Well, owned by Alibaba and led by Gary Liu, a highly regarded techie, the SEMP was well positioned to build products that would be easy to use, even fun, and have appropriate whiz-bang, with visual and auditory appeal to distribute whatever the newsroom covered. But here's the question. Would the SEMP's newsroom be up to the job editorially to deliver the content? Brian Rhodes, managing editor, had 16 years' experience at Reuters, some of that time as China bureau chief based in Beijing, before he joined SEMP in 2012. When he was a Stanford undergrad, he knew that he wanted to come to China, so he studied Mandarin, and he got his wish. Brian is the tall American guy in the executive meetings. He has the look of being the grown-up in the room, probably because he's the only male wearing a suit. But his manner is casual, friendly, self-deprecating, and he was all in on the transformational change. Brian was quick to remind me that the SEMP had had its share of scoops.
We've always had good journalism at the Post. There have been some incredible scoops since I've been here. They broke the news that one of the former standing committee members was under probe. The Post reporters broke this story, and it was followed up by all the other newspapers around the world. We also broke and ran with the story of one of the chief aides to Hu Jintao was trying to cover up this accident in which his son was killed in a high-powered Ferrari with two scantily clad women, and he went out of his way to try and cover up that story and wound up under probe as well. And that story was broken by the South China Morning Post.
Okay, well and good, but the occasional newsroom scoops Brian referred to were hardly recent, and the newsroom had been operating under an old system that even Brian agreed was desperately in need of change.
When you have a 114-year-old newspaper that was run by the British who perfected bureaucracy, and then after the handover then becomes Chinese, which invented bureaucracy, you know, you have a lot of habits that you have to break.
Here's what Ben Abbott said. He ran digital product development when you met him in episode 3.
Ultimately, we're in the content game, right? Content's king. And if our content isn't up to the standards set by NYT and Wash Post and The Guardian and other companies like that, then we'll fail. You can have an amazing product and it can look amazing and you can feel and, you know, it's great to use. But if the content's not there, then you've got a problem. I always think of SEMP as being a bit like an ocean liner. When you want to stop the ocean liner coming into the port, you have to turn off the engine. It's like 10 kilometers out. You know, when you want to turn around, it's got a turning circle of like 5K. But we need to transition to more like a speedboat. But editorial is, you know, we're talking about 300 people. You're talking about trying to find the right people with the right experience, with the right mindset.
The most seasoned of the newsroom denizens agreed that to play in the same game with journalism's big boys, you had to have world-class journalists. The question is whether the SEMP already had them, and if not, where they'd get them. Here's Cheng Yan Chao, born in Yunnan Province in southwest China and educated in Hong Kong. He joined SEMP as an intern before the handover, when the paper was still, in his words, the mouthpiece of the colonial Hong Kong government. Cheng Yan is currently executive editor, overseeing coverage of Hong Kong, China, and international news. He's urbane
ambitious. He says he's been there for 18 years because they kept giving him increasingly challenging roles. And he viewed this transformation effort as the most ambitious, yet the most promising thing to happen there.
We need to improve our journalistic standard and quality, to improve how we tell the story. The storytelling, the narrative needs to be improved.
Do you think you have that talent in-house right now, or do you think you're going to have to bring in world-class talent?
We definitely have potential, but we are not up there. It needs to be, we need to have a comprehensive people strategy, both to groom the people we have here, to help them to acquire new skills, to unlock their potentials. Also bring in outside talent, the world-class reporters. They can raise the bar, they can set the standard, they can lead by example.
Will that be difficult? Because in some cases, I would imagine people will consider that, given the current status of things, a demotion if they're the kind of really world-class journalist.
Right.
So how do you bridge that?
Yes, obviously, that's a big challenge, because if you talk about the world-class journalists, you're talking about those who already working for the established brand name. They enjoy what they are doing. How to persuade them to move from all this big boy club and join a relatively upstarter organization like SMP? That would require a lot of skills and convincing.
We'll be right back. Shangwei Wang has a 20-year tenure. Just before the Alibaba purchase of the SEMP, he gave up his role as editor-in-chief to return to Beijing and operate from there in an advisory role to the SEMP. He's a true global citizen, born in northeastern China. He studied English as a young boy, which eventually led to his studying journalism in the UK. And then he had internships at The Guardian, The FT, The Economist, Reuters, and others. When he returned to China, he personally experienced the Tiananmen Square uprising. And then he came to Hong Kong and joined SEMP in 1996. He has strongly held opinions.
You know, if you Google my name, you will see a lot of stuff, stories, speculation about my background and all that. And I can tell you most of them are bullshit.
Experiencing firsthand China's remarkable evolution, Shangwei felt Alibaba's purchase of the SEMP was fortuitous given its ambition to be global.
Ali wants to build a worldwide e-commerce trading platform for people to trade.
Right.
You know, it's like a Walmart. They want to build a Walmart for everybody in the world. On the ground, physically, you cannot build a Walmart. But then, you know, in the digital space, you can do that.
As to the newsroom's current capability to be competitive on a global scale, he's got strong opinions on that, too.
I think we have the potential. We need more high-quality people to work for us. I'm not saying the people here are not good. We're saying we need more if we want to make this transformation happen.
So what will attract them?
First of all, is that we have to do our job better. We have Ali as the employer because Ali is rich, has cash. So it helps us to hire those kind of people.
Shangwei says it's crucially important to do this hiring ASAP.
We are not doing it fast enough, more efficiently, and without getting the right people, we will be bogged down in this constant try this, try that, and cannot move ahead. Because I can tell you, time is running up. We are trying to become the platform for people to understand China. And then others are thinking of the same thing. It, because China is getting so much more important. People are hungry for information. And meanwhile, China is clamping up. So there was no better for us to become that authority.
After Shangwei, Tammy Tam took over as editor-in-chief, so she now heads the effort to shape the SEMP newsroom's direction. Like him, Tammy was born in mainland China. She came to SEMP 5 years ago from a career in local Hong Kong television, most recently as an anchor. She's reputed to have strong ties to Chinese sources, a valuable commodity, especially as China makes it increasingly tough to get information. Now, I should add, there'd been relentless scrutiny of Tammy Tam's politics and past editorial positions, but she appears to be completely comfortable in her role leading a highly diverse newsroom of several hundred. Though soft-spoken, she is quick to voice her opinion. She's diminutive, but stands tall when addressing the newsroom and in frequent open sessions. Tammy was another example of confidence in the future, despite the critics. In her view, the problem would never be lack of quality content.
My value is that we are the editorial, we are the content creators. I have good contents here. If we don't know how to promote it, we don't know how to get it out, that's problematic. We do believe the 21st century is one of the biggest stories. We need to tell the China story in a more credible way.
In terms of elevating thought, this is elevating a whole business to a world-class stage. Mm-hmm. Are you going to have to get people to really bring that kind of vigor and global viewpoint?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. That's a must.
And how are you going to attract them?
I think, first of all, the reputation of the paper is very important. Serious journalists don't want to join media organization that's not credible, right? So this is the most important, I think. That's also why we put our focus on China. We will be very balanced. Secondly, we also need to give people the confidence that SMP is on the right track now that we are going digital. When we compare to FT and Washington Post, that kind of Western mainstream media, we are still in the starting point. So in order to bring in the talents that we need to work harder.
One of the talents Tammy was counting on is Brett McKeon, an Australian, a straight shooter who told me the prospect of working for the SEMP was so tantalizing, he persevered despite two earlier efforts. One didn't pan out because of a hiring freeze, and a second one came when his wife was within a week of giving birth. The third time's the charm. He joined in 2014.
And the opportunity to grow a digital newsroom, to the extent that we're doing now, is probably one that's never going to be repeated in my career again. So that's a pretty incredible opportunity.
Brett was put in charge of SEMP's digital effort, a key role in shaping SEMP's content for the proposed multi-platform operation.
Yeah, it'll be the most mind-boggling victory ever if we pull this off. But, you know, what a project to be involved in. It's crazy. There's nothing wrong with ambition.
But in the beginning phase, he explained,
hurting us at the moment is we're just not getting the American eyeballs on our content because it's very niche. And so I'd like to do better on that front.
When you say niche, what do you mean?
I'm saying it has limited appeal to an American audience. So I'd like to see broader, more contextually relevant content. This is something I really try to push every single story. We need to think about why does it matter? Not why does it matter to someone in Hong Kong? Why does it matter to someone in Alabama? And that's what we need to get better at. That's what we need to improve.
Not everyone agreed with the let's go for the reader in Alabama approach.
I don't know whether you can succeed in getting people to be interested in things they're not interested in.
That's Zoraida Ibrahim, deputy executive editor. She's Singaporean, and she came to the SEMP from her job as deputy editor at Singapore's largest English newspaper, The Straits Times. She was convinced that China files were the most valuable target. Like many others, Zoraida was passionate about the importance of the SEMP's taking the lead.
Asia's interactions with the West have for far too long been defined and framed by journalists who did not always understand us. I may come across as defensive, but I always felt that when you parachute journalists in from wherever they come from, some of them turn out to be real journalists who spend a long time trying to understand the societies that they're reporting on. But they tend to be a rarer and rarer breed. And so you do want people who are genuinely here, who are invested in this place, to report on this place.
Back to Brett McKeon, who was so excited about finding reporters with the stories that would strike a chord outside of Hong Kong. I asked if reporters with those skills were on board at that point.
No, and that's why we're growing globally. We have a US bureau that's just been established. We have North American homepage editors, etc. We need this to be a far more effective content producing unit if we're to do anything, make any real impact in the US. It's extremely important. And that's why we've got to grow. And we've got to try new things and develop new products and try to hit a new market, because SEMP, as it currently stands, has very little brand recognition beyond Asia, and that's what we need to change. And so to do that, we need new personnel.
So who would Brett add and where?
We need people working on content distribution, social media, etc. When Hong Kong's asleep, like, there's no point us picking up stuff and publishing it when the US is asleep. If we want to hit our audience, we need people to work on and drive that content from the US, because they know the US audience better. And so once I establish the Hong Kong team, I think all SCMP.com, so this is my team, like, headcount growth will be aimed at our New York bureau to try and grow that team, because I think that's where our focus has got to be.
That same optimism and determination came from Matt Booth, the video genius who left CNN to join this adventure. Did he think the level of journalistic excellence was really world-class now at the SEMP?
I think it's building. I think it's definitely building. And if you look at the people who are coming in, they are people with experience and people who have worked for the BBCs, the Bloombergs, the CNNs. We need the best in the business. And I think there are enough journalists out there who currently work in Western media, foreign media, who are dissatisfied with the amount of coverage of Asia Pacific, that will want to join this, because we will be the authoritative voice of this region. And that's what we want to be.
And we come to the crux for the SEMP project: credibility and investigative journalism. Writing in The Atlantic in August 2020, Timothy McLaughlin describes the SEMP as being, quote, a newsroom at the edge of autocracy, unquote. And the subheading sums it up. The SEMP is arguably the world's most important newspaper for what it tells us about media freedoms as China's power grows, end quote. So thinking of challenges to the freedoms of the press, I just had to ask Gary about the SEMP's intentions regarding investigative journalism.
So you don't have Woodward and Bernstein sitting in these offices right now, do you? Or do you have them and you're ready to unleash them?
I believe we do have them here. We just haven't given them the space, the resources to do that kind of reporting.
Nonetheless, there's tension in the newsroom.
The tension in a newsroom like the South China Morning Post's, between those who have been in this industry and have been best journalists in this region for 20, 30 years, there's this assumption that if we change our product, if we now address new readers and users online and in all these new channels, that the quality of news gathering is to be diminished. And we have to get away from that. We have to understand that editorial integrity is still the lead product. And we can package it differently. We can distribute it differently. But the quality of news needs to maintain at the highest level.
So this brings us to the tipping point. What happens when a hugely ambitious news media project with a growing multinational team of experienced journalists and digital techies meets political reality in the face of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party? How does this end? Here's one hopeful voice, someone deeply committed to maintaining that highest level of quality. Robert Delaney joined the SEMP mid-2017 as New York correspondent. He was working out of a New York WeWork office when we talked. His resume is impressive, with stints at Toronto's Globe and Mail and at Bloomberg, where he was Beijing bureau chief. He speaks and writes Mandarin. He told me that when he came on board, he had given some thought to the threat of self-censorship and that he was delighted that it had not, at least at that time, materialized. What he could see, however, was a breadth of opinion on China that needed to be explored.
That's one thing I'm learning, is that there are just different editorial voices here. There are some stories and there are some editorials that are going to be written more in defense of Beijing, But then there are pieces that are not in defense of Beijing. So I see both sides here.
Okay, so now that we've seen how the foundations were laid practically and philosophically for the SEMP project, join us next time as we begin to look at the changes that have taken place since the story began. Which of the people who helped Gary shape this mission have left the SEMP? And who has taken their place? And how the company's now organized and what that all means? And we'll learn what's happening in Hong Kong itself and how those events have affected the SEMP and its mission. There are numerous and huge challenges we'll consider. The trade wars between the U.S. and China, the mass pro-democracy demonstrations that captured the interest of people around the world, the COVID-19 pandemic, and the national security law, which has resulted in shutting down Hong Kong's Apple Daily, a Chinese-language pro-democracy newspaper, as well as the arrests of numerous activists, many of them young people who took part in the citywide demonstrations, and have been found by the courts after non-jury trials to be guilty of terrorism and sedition, leading to imprisonment. Can the SEMP survive all this upheaval? Does all this turmoil render the SEMP's mission more important than ever? How will it manage to lead the conversation about China and avoid getting caught in the crosshairs of the Communist Party? Join us for Episode 5 of Selling the Truth. Thank you for listening. Selling the Truth is a WF360 production, produced by Susan Bird with help from Lori Kutz, fact-checking by Laura Kim, and sound editing from Transition Productions. Deep thanks to the SEMP employees, including tech and digital team members, reporters, and other staffers, and the many other individuals around the world who shared their candid responses to my many questions. Special thanks to Gary Liu, SEMP's CEO, for generously spending hours in conversation with me about his unique perspective on this story with worldwide significance. You can find links to more information, including supporting articles, in our show notes and on our website at WF360Productions.com. If you enjoyed this episode of Selling the Truth, tell your friends and give us a favorable review and subscribe or follow us on your favorite listening app. Your feedback will help other people discover this important conversation about journalism, news, and the truth. How we search for it, how we access it, how we consume it, and in the end, who we choose to trust to deliver it.